Takk for at du hører på vår podcast. Salt en kirke som ønsker å lede mennesker til et nytt og bedre liv gjennom etterfølgelse av Jesus. Dette skjer nå ikke bare i Bergen, for vi i gang med å plante en ny kirke i Trondheim. Om du interessert i å være med på dette, eller bare ønsker å få mer informasjon om Salt Trondheim, vil vi gjerne ha kontakt med deg. Gå inn på salt.co/Trondheim for å få vite mer. Takk igjen for at du hører på. Her er ukens budskap.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, this is my fourth session here, and you guys are better looking than the last three put together, you know, so. It's so good, and thank you, Pastor Oystein, and Sigurd, thank you for just being so tenacious about getting me here. This guy's been trying to get me here for 2 years, okay? And finally I saw you, what was it, about back in November. Yeah, we saw each other in November. And he told me if I didn't come to Norway that God wasn't going to answer any more of my prayers. So just kidding. He didn't really tell me that. But so it's so good to be here with you. And just to get to meet all of you. You know, one of the reasons that I love the church so much is growing up as an orphan, I never really knew what it was like to have a family. And when I got into church and all of a sudden I got saved, and one of the reasons that I do love to travel around and meet people is because you guys are, you're family. And it's an honor and a privilege, really, to serve the ministry here at Salt. And so I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to really to come and to serve you. Before I forget, because I don't want to have to come back to this, I wish in the 35 minutes that I've got with you here tonight, I wish that I could just sort of kind of plug a cable into my head and into yours and sort of download 35 years of studying biblical finance. And I can just give you a little piece of it. I'm going to go through some, some information tonight with you. I wish I could give you more information, and I can in the form of, we've got a couple of books. One is on biblical finance, the other one's more on practical, and then we have 30 hours of teaching and information on a USB that you can download onto your iPhone, your computer, okay? And continue to listen to it, and we've got just a great package for you. So those are going to be available, I guess, afterwards? And if we run out, I guess they can order it, and we can always send more or whatever, okay? So, well, if we could put the first slide up, I always love to show this picture, because this is me when I first got saved, I was a 15-year-old kid. I was a street kid. I'd been living on the streets for a couple years, as you heard my story there. And when I got saved, I mean, my whole life just totally got turned around. And I began to realize that God had a plan for my life. You know, all of us have had tough things that we've been through in our lives. Maybe you haven't been through maybe you didn't have to eat out of garbage bins and sleep on the streets for a couple of years. But the fact is, all of us have been through tough things in our lives. And I think one of the best things that you could ever come to the realization of is that whatever test that you've either been through or going through, God can use that to turn that into a testimony. You know, the first four letters in the word testimony are test. And the first four letters in the word message are mess. So if you're ever feeling like you're in a mess, you just have to kind of say, okay, God, there must be some kind of a message in here also. And I realized that my history, in other words, where I came from, my history did not have to become my destiny. And no matter where your life is at today, God wants to take you to a new dimension. God wants to take you to a new level. And as I was growing up in the church at 15, as a kid, I went to Jewish synagogue. And I got to be honest, I mean, I really didn't appreciate the Jewish faith until I actually got saved. When one of the guys that was leading me to the Lord, I said, listen, I would never be a Christian. If I'd be anything, I'd be Jewish. And he said, well, you know, Jesus is Jewish. I said, really? I thought he was a Catholic. I didn't know that. And so I had no concept of what church was like. I remember as we're driving to church, he said, have you ever been to church? I said, never, been to Jewish synagogue. He said, this is a Pentecostal church. I said, well, Michael, I don't have any money with me. I don't care how much it costs, okay? I mean, it's just, you know, I didn't understand what Pentecostal meant, you know? And so I had no preconceived idea. And when I came in, I was taught about tithing. And a year later, when I got my first job at 16, I started tithing. I was making $30 a week. And all the other kids were kind of laughing at me. And I said, listen, the scripture says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you've been faithful over a little, I'll make you faithful over much. And so I started tithing on a small amount because I realized that that was part of God's promotion system, if you will. God will never end up blessing you until you're first obedient. You know, blessings are always on the other side of obedience. And so I realized that, and I started becoming faithful. You know, it's interesting, the word love in Hebrew actually doesn't mean ooey gooey, oh, I love you. It actually means faithfulness and loyalty. Has a whole different meaning to it than just, oh, I love you. What love, you know, when the scripture says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that actually means that God was so faithful, so loyal, that he didn't operate on emotions, but he operated on principle, and he saw you here in Norway all the way in 2017 before Calvary. And so God is so faithful. The next one are all the probably the most frequently asked questions that I get, and these are certainly covered in the material and in the resources. But I just want to just kind of go to the second one about, wasn't tithing under the law? Because I hear that a lot, that, oh, you know, I don't believe in tithing because it was under the law. Actually, the first time that tithing was mentioned in the Bible was with Abraham, who paid tithe to Melchizedek, which is actually a type of Christ. Okay, and Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, which was 400 years before the Mosaic Law. So this is not something that was under the law. This is actually part of the character of God. Part of the, if you want to call it, the law of the universe, sowing and reaping, okay? Jesus said, give, and it will be given unto you. Now, I got to tell you, I don't give to get. I give because he first gave to me. And giving and tithing is not about money. I know that sounds bizarre, but God doesn't need your money. God is very wealthy. Did you know in the book of Revelation it says that when we get to heaven, the streets will be paved with gold. If you can't handle a little bit of gold down here, when we get up there, you're going to be up there with a shovel, okay, trying to dig up the streets of gold. It says that the gates of heaven are going to be made out of pearl. Those are some big pearls. And that inside of the gates will be all manner of stones, of precious stones. I mean, those are going to be some valuable. And if you can't handle money here, you'll be up there tearing the gates down and trying to chisel out the stones out of there. So God is not poor, but what money and finance and tithing and giving is all about is about the condition of your heart. I know that Sigurd said I'm the stewardship pastor, and I am, but I always like to tell people that I'm actually the worship pastor. I teach people how to worship God instead of money. Because money is the easiest thing to actually replace God, because when you have everything, just try witnessing to someone that's wealthy. They go, what do I need God for? Until they're on their deathbed, okay? And then, of course, then they need God. How many of you would actually like to be able to help the poor? How many of you would like to be able to help the poor? Let me, if you're taking notes, let me give you the step number one to help the poor. Don't be one of them. Because if you're poor, if you have no food, how can you help feed someone else? Now, the scripture does say that the poor are with you always, but it doesn't mean that you have to be one of them. And so God wants to bless you in order that you might become a blessing to other people. See, our giving, I'm going to steal this from you, Sigurdin, in the last service that we had. In fact, I want to make you a promise. I'm going to put this in my message and give you credit the first three times. From then on, it's mine. It's my geniusness, okay? Sigurd said, our giving should come out of our thanksgiving. And that's really what, I know that you guys do this twice a year. And when we have a grateful heart, that's when God can actually bless us. I'm going to show you that today in the scripture. God's love for you is unmerited. None of us deserved God's love. But God's trust in you is something totally different. See, you can never do anything to get God to love you more than what He already loves you. In fact, than what He loved you before you actually accepted Him into your life. God does not have this, do good and you get good. God is, I love you just like you would love a child, even if they messed up. They're still your kid. You still love them. You might be frustrated. The scripture does say that God, it talks about how that God will chastise us like a father would a son in order to bring us to take corrective measures to get us back on the right path. But God still loves you. But does God trust you? The scripture says that by Him, actions are weighed. I have a question for you. How much weightiness do you have in God's eyes? Because the scripture doesn't say that by your prayers or by what you say God weighs it. It's by your actions. And tithing is nothing more than the outward action of the indication and the recognition that God, you are number one. You're number one in my life. You're before my needs. You're before my mortgage. You're before my car payment. You're before my food. You're before my utilities. Because God, I don't look at my job or my business or my savings as my source. I look at you as my source. Giving, as I mentioned, is a form of worship where that we really do show and honor God. Whenever I give, and I'm not telling you how to do it, but it just makes sense, that the first of the month, or whenever you get paid, put it on a direct debit. Because I don't know about you, I got a pretty busy life. And so I do that not because it's out of sight, out of mind, but I do it because I want God to know that my heart, God, is to honor you automatically. And if we can go to the next slide, all of us are somewhere on these four levels. And by the way, there is no shame in being poor. If you were born poor, that's not your fault, but it is if you stay poor. There are so many opportunities out there today if you're just willing to avail yourself of them. And I was poor, I was an orphan, I was homeless. But the scripture says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. But that's when you recognize that God is number one in your life. So you might be struggling. Let me speak to people that are struggling. There is a way out for you when you do it God's way. You do not have to live in debt. You do not have to be under the burden of financial problems. There's a way out. And so then when I finally went to solid, now I'm paying my bills, but I was like most young people. I had Visa, MasterCard, car payments, a mortgage. And I was sort of like this in the water. And if there had been a big wave, I would have drowned. I was making it, but just barely. And then when I started getting this education, and getting the knowledge, both scripturally, but also practically. The scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And when I started getting the knowledge, then I moved up into stable where I started getting out of debt. My first year in business at 24, I did a business part-time. I got totally out of debt, paid my credit cards off, my car payments. That's been 35 years ago, and I've never been back in debt since. For consumer debt. I've been in debt as far as mortgages for properties and a home and investment properties, that type of thing. But never, you know, I have a credit card, but I pay it off every month. And so then you become stable where now you're giving when God begins to speak to you. You know, I remember whenever I'd be in meetings and my heart would want to give, but I didn't have any money in savings. And then all of a sudden, I started getting some money in savings, and I remember that the Holy Spirit started dealing with me on giving. First time I remember God ever told me, he said, go ahead and write a check for $10,000. And I quoted a scripture, get behind me, Satan. Just kidding, okay? This is a true story. I haven't shared this in any of the services. So about 5 years ago, I was sitting in Hillsong, and we were doing Heart for the House. You guys do a Heart for the House, or that's kind of what this is, right? Like Thanksgiving, okay? It's a special offering once or twice a year. And the way that I operate is I have money in savings and investments, but if I want to go buy something, I like to set it as a goal, even though I already have the money, and then I put it into a special account. And I wanted to go buy a nice used Mercedes, okay? By the way, if you buy a new car, that's a great way to lose money. Excuse me if you're a car salesperson, okay? But as soon as you drive it off the lot, you know, say you paid $300,000. As soon as you drive it off the lot, if you just drove one kilometer, turned around, came back and said, I want my money back, you probably just lost 10 or 25% of the car. Buy one or 2 years old and you buy it for probably 50 to 60% of what the cost is. Okay, let someone else take the depreciation. You either invest the difference or put it in the kingdom. But anyhow, I had this money sitting in this account to buy a Mercedes. And as the offering bucket came by, I put in an amount that I already had in my heart to put in for that, you know, for Heart for the House. And as it came by, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, do you really need that Mercedes? And I said, well, no, Lord, I don't really need it. And I felt the Lord say to me, why don't you go ahead and sew that? Just forget about the car. We already had a different car. So I said, okay. And I got home, went online, transferred the money that day. And I'm not promising you that this is going to happen to you. On Wednesday, a guy from church called me up who I'd never met before. And he said, Jeff, were you at the second service? I said, yeah, I was. He said, when the offering bucket came by, he said, the Lord impressed on me that I'm supposed to give you one of my cars. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, now it's not new, but he said it's about 9 years old. It's got 50,000 miles on it, top of the line Mercedes. Would you be interested in it? And I said, how much is it? He said, it's free. I said, absolutely. I mean, yeah, sure. And I'm not promising you that God's going to give you a Mercedes, okay? But God tests us in this area in order to increase our faith. And so whatever area that you're at in their surplus is a great place to be. You know, I've never met anybody yet that said, no, you know, I'd rather be down in that bottom level, you know, where you're just miserable. You know, my goal at 65 is to be bankrupt, okay? Everybody would love to be in that area. And I want to tell you that it is God's will. I'm not saying that everybody should become a millionaire, okay? Although, try it, it's fun. But I am saying to you that God wants to bless you so that you can become a bigger blessing to other people. I've had people say to me, I got enough. What do I need to go make more for? What a selfish statement. The reason that I like to make money isn't just so that I can have a bigger house, a bigger car. By the way, there's nothing wrong in that. But it's so that I can help fund the kingdom. I can become a kingdom person so that I can touch other people's lives. Let's go to the next slide. It's interesting as you study the scripture, there's 500 places in the Bible on prayer, 500 on faith, and over 3,500 scriptures in the Bible about money and finance and stewardship. Stewardship simply means management. 17 out of Jesus's 38 parables were about money and finance. For those of you that are good with maths, okay, it's 44.7% of all of Jesus's parables were about money. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 10:19, money answers all things. And there's a statement there at the bottom, which is how you act with money is how you handle the rest of your life. Jesus says in Luke 16, if you can't handle money, who will commit to you the true riches of God? What he's saying is really money should be the basic thing. But think about this. We go through 14,000 hours of school and education, and you learn great life skills like algebra, trigonometry, the circumference of a circle, and how to dissect a frog. And yet, you very rarely do you ever use those skills, but they teach you nothing about money out of those 14,000 hours of education. So is it no small wonder that most people do not know much about money? I'd like to go to Mark 8 and 36. And Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? He didn't say it was bad to profit. He didn't say it was bad for you to have things. He just, what he was saying is if that's what your life is all about, that's the center of your life, you're a pretty shallow person. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing you could give in exchange for your soul. In fact, the only thing you could give in exchange for your soul is to say, I repent, please forgive me. Let's go to Luke 12 and 15. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Covetousness means to covet means to desire something that's not yours. To be jealous. For a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Really what Jesus is saying there, he's saying, listen, don't allow your self-worth to become equated to your net worth. See, God does not value you based on what you own. God values you based on what you are and on what you can become. If we could go to the next slide, this kind of shows what all the different needs are, and I hope one of the things that motivates you is what motivates me. I mean, you know, all of these needs, the orphans, the widows, the homeless, I mean, you can read them. In the UK, there's 180,000 charities. There's a program that you guys just showed a video of just a little while ago. Guess what? Guess what all of this has to do in common? You're getting ready to go into a new building that you're leasing. I'd love to see you guys be able to purchase it where it's yours, where you've got an asset. Not just so that for your generation, but for generations to come. Boy, am I ever glad that 45 years ago that somebody was a tither, so the church was there for a Jeff Letts to get saved. But they all have one thing in common, and that's money. They all need money. And they all have a mission in life. Let's go to the next slide. You know, all of you, no matter what your background is, and this is whether you live in Norway or the UK or the US, all of us have these four areas of our life that we have to deal with. Our spiritual lives, our financial lives, our relationships, and our health. And what God wants for you in your life is to have this well-rounded life. You know, the word perfect, when Jesus said, he said, my peace, which is actually the word in Hebrew, shalom, my shalom I give to you. My peace I give to you. 3 John 2, John says, I would above all things that you would prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. So God is this heavenly Father, just like you as parents. You want to see your kids do good. And God's a good God, and God wants to see you do well in every single area of your life. I have friends of mine that are very wealthy. They're really doing well financially. But the rest of their lives look like it looks bankrupt. I've got friends that are on their third, fourth, fifth, sixth marriage. Their kids hate them. That's not success. I've got other people that got a bunch of money, but their health is horrible because over the years they've just abused themselves with alcohol and tobacco and overeating. And I mean, just, and I mean, I don't know about you guys. I would rather be healthy and poor than to be rich and sick. Now, I'd rather be wealthy and healthy, okay, both. And yet I see many people in the church. This is one of the things, Pastor Oystein, that burdened me is I saw more poverty in the church than I saw in the world. Jesus said in Luke 16, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. And somehow we have justified that poverty and piety somehow go together. And you can't show me one place in the Bible that God says, I want you to be poor. If you can find the place that says God wants you to be poor, and please don't quote me, blessed are the poor, because it says blessed are the poor in spirit. If you can find me one place, I'll give you 10,000 kroner. Now here's the problem. If you bring me the scripture and then you want 10,000 kroner, I can't give it to you because God wants you poor. So you have a choice that you have to make if we can go to the next slide. Are you going to do it your way, which the scripture says that our ways in Isaiah, he said our ways are as far as the heavens are from the earth. You know, if you had said to me, how far do you think your ways are from God? I'd say, well, I don't know, maybe from Bergen to Oslo, but certainly not from the heavens are from the earth. That's how different that we think from God. So when I came to God, when it came to giving, you know, the scripture says that man's heart is desperately wicked. I've had people around the world say, I just give out of the goodness of my heart. I don't tithe, I just give out of the goodness of my heart. I'm going to be honest with you. If I gave out of the goodness of my heart, I wouldn't give anything. Because by nature, we are selfish people. Could I get you, Sigurd, to come up here? And this is called a talis, a talit. And I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 6. You might want to get your iPhones out for this, okay? And Jesus would have worn one of these. Where are you going? Okay. Jesus would have worn one of these. And this is a head covering to show I am under the covering of God. Okay? He's doing good. I told him in the other services I'm going to make him an honorary Jew, but don't worry about the other thing that we normally do to Jewish boys, okay? In the book of Deuteronomy, verse 3, it says, Hear, O Israel, and observe and do it. It may be well with you. You might increase mightily. Can you say increase mightily? Increase. See, God wants you to increase mightily. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. What that means is God's a very jealous God. He wants to be number one in your life. And I'm going to let this represent your income. So if you could hold this, Sigurd. And here's what the scripture in Hebrew says, is love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Instead of soul, it's your mind. And that word might is the word medecha. Can you say medecha? Okay. That word medecha means money and possessions. So here's what it actually reads, is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your money and your possessions. Now, the scripture says, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Not my house, but God's house. That means where you're getting fed spiritually, your local church. And when you do that, here's what happens spiritually, is that God's covering now comes over the other 90%, and this 10% now sanctifies the other 90%, and I cannot explain it. It's a paradox, okay? It is a paradox that God will actually help the other 90% to go further than 100%. You say, well, that makes no sense. I understand. That's why God's ways are so different than ours. So let's say that Sigurd says, I do not want to tithe because I don't believe in it or whatever his lame excuse is. Here's what happens spiritually is God, simply this covering comes off in that area of his life. Can we go to the slide that shows the circle was self? Because now he's saying, I'm going to do it my way. And God says, no problem. I still love you. You're still going to heaven. But you made a decision to do this your way. Good luck. So now you're out there on your own, and you're no longer under this covering that God has. You say, is God going to get me? No, God's not going to get you. See, there's a difference in being cursed and being under God's blessing. God's not going to come give you a bolt of lightning. You do not have to tithe. You get to tithe. It's a condition of your heart. And it's this easy. The word repent just means to turn around and go the other way. So you say, okay, God, I repent. I'm sorry. I wasn't doing it the right way. I didn't know about that. And now the covering is now over that area of your life. That's how simple it is. It's not complicated. Okay? Great. Great job. This is the last service. You can have the baguette. How are we doing on time? We're doing okay? How much time do I have? Okay, great. I want to go to Deuteronomy 8. How many of you pray before you eat? Before you eat, okay? Here's what Scripture said, Deuteronomy 8 and 10. When you've eaten and you're full, then you shall bless the Lord. By the way, that's what gratitude is all about. It's easy to be grateful before you get it, but what about after you get it? Verse 11, beware that you don't forget the Lord your God. In other words, that you don't get spiritual amnesia. He said, in keeping his commandments and his judgments, in verse 12, lest when you've eaten and you're full and you built goodly houses and your herds and your flocks have multiplied and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied and you say in your heart, my power has gotten me this wealth. But remember, would you all say remember? That's what you have to do. See, partnership means you have to do your part. Supernatural is nothing more than God's super on top of your natural. That's why tithing, when you tithe, that's the natural. And then God's super comes on top of that. And it goes on to say that God will give you the power to get wealth that he might establish his covenant. The real reason God wants to bless you, yes, it's so you can have a nice house and a nice car and all the other things that Deuteronomy talked about. But the real reason is so that you can help further the kingdom of God. Luke 18, the rich young ruler, a certain ruler, came to Jesus saying, good master, what shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? None is good save one that's God. And he said, if you want to have eternal life, keep the commandments. Count them with me, if you will, what Jesus says in verse 20. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother. How many is that? Five. I hope that you go home and study the other five, because Jesus never gives them to them. Because the other five had something to do with this flaw and glitch in his life, which money meant more to him than anything. And Jesus says, or the young man says, I've kept all these from my youth up. And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, which means the shalom of God on your life, you lack one thing. Sell what you have and give to the poor. Never told him to give it all. He said, give to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. See, the riches had him. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly, thank God he didn't say impossible. He said, it's hard for people that have riches and wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to watch the disciples' response, because they were all Jewish. They all understood Deuteronomy. So if they were all poor, their response would have been, this is great news, because we don't have any money, so we're all going to heaven. But they scratched their head and they said, whoa, 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 wait a minute, Jesus, you're messing with our theology here. We know that God said in Deuteronomy that he would bless us, our houses and lands and silver and gold and our herds would be multiplied so that God would bless us so that we could be a blessing to the nations. If a rich man can't get in, then who can be saved? And Jesus says, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Can we go to that slide with God in the middle? What Jesus is saying is when it's just you trying to do it on your own, you can't get into heaven on your own. Your riches aren't going to get you there. Your good works aren't going to get you there. Your good looks aren't going to get you there. He said, but when you put God as the center of your life, as the Lord of your life, all things are possible.
Takk for at du lyttet til podcasten til Salt. For å høre flere, besøk oss på saltbergen.no.